alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're in the doctrine of surpassing grace, and we're on page 2 of your notes. Doctrine of surpassing grace, page 2 of your notes. All right, God the Father desires those that worship Him to worship in spirit and in truth. God the Holy Spirit only promotes the truth. The truth is the content of Scripture, extracted by the pastor teacher, under the right conditions, and communicated to those who are willing to assemble themselves together. Spiritual growth is dependent upon you hearing, knowing, and applying the Word of God. The Word of God does you no good if you don't apply it. The illustration on here illustrates an application, which I recognize is not very well known, if known at all, in the Christian community in this country and around the world. And it's so simple. That's the funny part. What is a Christian supposed to do when a Christian sins? Well, you don't lose your salvation. That's rank stupidity. You'd be losing it every day, multiple times. There are those that teach that sin causes you to lose your salvation. You probably won't get out of this building before you lose it. This is completely stupid, wrong-headed, not of God. Once you are saved, you're in the plan forever. You may not be a good Christian, but you're in it. Now, what you're supposed to do when you sin is confess it to God. All I can do is tell you that. Not run around, feel sorry, go through a bunch of hoops, beat yourself up. Because the Bible says if we say we do not sin, we lie and the truth is not in us. And I can illustrate all day different kinds of sins people commit. Mental attitude sins, sins of the tongue, and of course overt sins. What are you supposed to do? Wherever you are, whatever the sin, period, over and out, you say, Father, I confess. It's like a blank check. You fill in the amount. If it's a little sin, supposedly, or big sin, or whatever it is, you're back in fellowship with God. We break fellowship when we sin. We restore fellowship instantly by saying, Father, I confess. You know, as per, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Who is he talking about in the prayer? If we forgive us, referring to believers. Only Jesus Christ didn't ever had to use rebound because he never sinned and he was perfect from the womb. Well, you and I aren't close to that. We aren't remotely close to that. So we have to rebound. By the way, this also gives you the filling of the Holy Spirit. Because when you're being ruled by your Adamic nature, you're quenching and grieving God the Holy Spirit. When you rebound, you're back and you're filled with the Holy Spirit. So, and again, as per our doctrine today, this is the only way you can produce divine good. And this is the only way you're going to get those rewards that God has for those who apply Bible doctrine. The rest of them are not going to get the rewards. They're saved, but they aren't going to get the rewards. Now, I don't know if that means anything to you. But when you check out of this life, it's going to mean something. So, this is your opportunity to rebound. Get yourself in fellowship and pay attention And you got to be intellectually honest. You got to receive the truth. You can't relate it to me. Well, you're not perfect. That's not the point. I don't have to be. I just have to be in fellowship and teach you the truth. That's all I got to do. And you got to listen. And it's your responsibility to assimilate it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the factors involved in our being able to assemble ourselves together in these last days, in these perilous times. Thank you for all of your provisions of grace, making it possible for us to continue to forge ahead in this conflict of which we're privileged to serve and glorify you. Bless our time together in Christ's name. Amen. All right. As per our review of the doctrine, all believers in Jesus Christ are going to appear before Jesus Christ and be judged for their works in time. By works, I mean anything you do, any activities you do. Go to work. Lots of people go to work, spend a lot of their week at work. Anything that you do in fellowship, there's the rub, you know. It's called rules. And in all areas of life, there's established rules. You can't participate in a sporting event and not obey the rules. You can't sit here in Bible class and look around at other people and smile like this was comical. You've got to pay attention. Because if you don't, you know, you're going to be raptured out of here. You're going to be resurrected. And you're not going to like the Bema seat because you're not going to get rewards. Everybody likes rewards, mostly. They like to get benefited by doing things, promotions, winning contests, etc., etc. I mean, people are about in this world, and particularly in this country, they're about accumulating things. I've noticed that. They're about accumulating things and talking about what they accumulated. Right? And they're turned on by all these things. And they want more things. Because I've noticed that once they get things, they're not happy. They've got to have more things. Okay? Now I'm going to tell you about, and of course, everyone realizes that these things only last a lifetime, however brief or however long it may be. Because when a person dies, they don't take their things with them. They don't take all of their stuff. They can put them in a nice suit and stick them in a nice box and stick them in a nice plot of ground and put a nice tombstone over it and say a few words and walk off. But other people got their things. They're separated from them. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having things, or I'd be hypocritical. I have a few. Okay? I've accumulated a few. All right? Now, the fact of the matter is, these things are not going to commend me to God. How much money you have, the house you live in, and who you know, guess what? It doesn't impress God. He isn't impressed with that stuff. He's impressed with his plan, and he's impressed with those who line up with it and make whatever sacrifices, and those children of his, he is going to dump rewards on. And the other dummies, they're going to come up on the short end of the stick. It's that simple. You don't get a reward if you don't follow the rules. Did you ever hear that in any area of life? You want to get the top grade in this course? This is what you got to do. And so you buckle down and you do it. And oh good, I got an A. So we're talking about eternal rewards. Because as a believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to live forever in a resurrection body. And by the way, that event is coming real soon. And it's going to catch so many people flat-footed, it isn't funny. We are at the end game Christ is coming back, and he's going to call us to himself. And wherever you're doing, or wherever you are, whatever your condition, if it's in the middle of a work day, if it, whatever it is, in Bible class, that'd be cool, but we all get resurrected out of here. You're going to be transformed into a resurrection body just like Jesus Christ. And let's say you're 17 years old. I'll just pick that arbitrarily. Or you're 90, whatever. You're going to get a resurrection body like Jesus Christ, and you're going to be 35. You're going to be pushed up to 35 or back to 35, as you ever you ought to look at it. We're all going to be the same age. Forever. There's going to be no babies running around. No elderly people that need help. We're going to get a resurrection body. We're going to meet Christ in the air. And all the rest of these people who are not believers are going to be left behind, and they're going to see us go. How'd you like to make a movie out of that one? And everything you have on and in you that's not a part of your biology is going to be left here in this room. Or whatever room you're in. God has a sense of humor. He's got a big plan. He's going to resurrect us up out of this world. If our remains are in a grave, that doesn't matter. If they were scattered over the ocean in ashes, it doesn't matter. He's God. He'll pull it all together and give you that body back in a new form, in a new dynamic. A bulletproof body, as I say. A body that cannot suffer anything of the ills of this life. Aging, injury, sickness, hunger, tiredness. You'll never be tired. You'll never have to lay down and spend half of your day sleeping. No, you won't have to. You'll have a resurrection body. 1 John 3:2. There's your documentation. Where do you get that in the Bible? I'll show you. You got the guts to look at it. I'll show you. It's right there. You can ignore it, but it's right there. We're going to get a resurrection body like Jesus Christ. All the believers that preceded us all the way up to the end, the church gets out of here. Well, the first thing we do is we appear before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. To have our works, our deeds, done in this life, evaluated. And don't think it's going to happen in a flash. And those who get the big reward, there's the elite reward. There's all the other rewards. For instance, today, whatever you do, to whatever extent you're in fellowship, you get a reward for that. I mean, the sky's the limit. And there's an account in heaven with your name on it. And you add to that when you apply. And God comes back with the appropriate reward. Jesus said there was even a reward for giving someone some water. That's easy. Hand them a glass of water. In fellowship. If you're out of fellowship, you don't get a reward for that. It's a good deed, but you don't get a reward for it. Eternal reward, I mean. You may get thanks from somebody and appreciate that, and that was thoughtful. See, some people are thoughtful. They think about other people. They're aware of their situation. And they do things, even sometimes without being asked. Because they're thoughtful. They're not self-consumed. With their head buried in their God phone. Yeah, we're becoming a nation of zombies. I see them all the time. A whole family sitting in a restaurant eating. They're playing with their phones. Can't they talk to each other? Isn't there something more important than this thing they do? It destroys their true humanity. It makes them something else. This is it. This isn't it. It's a distraction. All right. The ultimate reward is for finishing your course. I'm using the biblical analogy to athletics, and particularly a foot race. We know what is involved. This is so much distance. Y'all line up, and someone blows the whistle, shoots the gun off, and you run. But you can't just do anything you want to, can you? You can't trip the guy next to you, can you? You can't run out of bounds. You can have a hard moment, but you can recover and you just keep going. The race has... And there's these rules that men set up to govern these events. God has rules for the race we're in. Paul says, run the race according to the rules. If you want to get the prize, if you want to get the ultimate distinction, and you will walk around with it for all eternity, and everyone will look at you, and in that sense, you'll be a celebrity. You are one of those that took God seriously, made your sacrifices, lined up with the truth, no matter what was thrown at you, got yourself in the right church that teaches the truth, separated from whoever you had to separate from because they weren't positive, they're not interested in it, and all those other things you have to go through. We have what is called commonly the crown. As clarified, this is the wreath. The Bible must be interpreted in the time in which it was written. And they gave wreaths. You know, that's that woven thing that you put on your head. And the crown you also put on your head. It is designated in different ways in the New Testament. But it's the same item. If you check out of this life, raptured or die, and you are following the truth, whether you are whatever level of spiritual growth you're in, you're going to get this wreath. It's going to be awarded to you on that day. And we all have a frame of reference for this. People standing, celebrating on some platform that they got a gold medal. Because they put in all the hard work, they followed all the rules, they worked through injuries, they worked through setbacks, they had a strict diet. They didn't live like the rest of the people because they couldn't. They couldn't be a couch potato and a fast food addict. Because it isn't going to work. And they had coaches and trainers and various things and competitions and all this went through so they can get this gold medal or silver or bronze. But in ancient world, they only had one thing they gave. It was a wreath to the winner of the particular event. It was called the wreath. And it opened up doors for this person. Well, this is going to open up doors for you and me if we get it. I don't have it yet. I got to finish doing what I got to do. I got to keep pounding away at this till I'm out of here. I'd like to go out of here via the rapture. The next five and a half years. How old are you going to be in 5.5 years? I don't know how old I'm going to be. You say that guy's crazy. Yeah, I'm crazy. Crazy right. I got the documentation. Laughing at it won't change it. Ignoring it won't change it. The masses don't want it. The masses aren't going to get it. You know what the masses are, but I'll say that. The wreath of life, it's called, in James 1:12 and Revelation 2:10. It's called the crown or the wreath of righteousness in 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. Because you see, you were in God's eyes a righteous person. A righteous person does God's will. You may be among the righteous, imputed righteousness for all believers, but to be among the experiential, big word, experiential righteous, you got to be operating in this game. You got to be producing. And isn't complicated. This isn't complicated. You just have to fear God and say, you know, He's my ultimate judge, and I'm standing before Him. And I can pass the time in this life distracted with all this stuff, but eventually it comes down to this. The time I'm sitting up here in this hour, I wonder how many people on this planet die. They hit the wall. They're introduced to the afterlife. Most of them are unbelievers, and they're in hell. Believers, they go directly to heaven, no deal. But their bodies they leave behind, and we're waiting for the resurrection. We all must appear. It's called the crown of glory. It's going to bring glory to you. People like to look good, don't they? They like to have a showcase for who they are. Some people. They're big on that. Other people, you know, they don't care what they look like. They don't care what they act like. They have very, you know, they're just sloppy. Don't have any esprit de corps. None. And other people do. And so, glory, the glory of somebody in a position, some accomplishment, usually associated with rewards, monetary rewards, various things. See, you take a bum off the street, you clean him all up, get him a little healthy, put him in a real nice car and an expensive suit, then fill his wallet full of cash. Oh, that guy, look at that guy. And he was just a bum on the corner, begging for money. It's called glory. God is going to, and our glory will vary. We will not all be equal in heaven. We will all be in heaven. Oh, by the way, heaven's a temporary place. Oh, I like to shock people. I can't shock you guys. You've been here long. Heaven's a temporary place. What do I mean by that? I mean, those that have been in heaven since the beginning of the church age, they've been there, you know, well, you can do the math. You can subtract 33 AD from 2016, and you can figure out how many years anybody potentially can be there. That's heaven above the throne room. And they're waiting for the rapture too, the resurrection of the dead. Because you're not fully sanctified until you get your body in on the act. And it has to be changed to be able to endure all and do all the things it'll be able to do. And then after the rapture, 7 years, we're coming back. We're going to rule with Christ for 1,000 years. But it isn't over then. We're coming back with Him. And God's kingdom and His throne is going to be placed on the new earth. What about that? You know, what about the kingdom? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Is it, what's that mean? It means the throne of God's going to be relocated onto the new earth and the new Jerusalem. So, SG3, we call it, surpassing grace blessing, the three for the eternal, our final afterlife situation. Old Testament saints are rewarded at the second advent. Okay, this is details. But you know, let's account for the whole family of God. God has a really big family. His family is only made up of believers. His family includes everybody from the beginning, Adam and Eve. They became believers. One of their sons didn't. Cain. Cain was arrogant, negative, and he killed his positive brother, blood brother. He murdered his blood brother, Abel. Welcome to Focus on the Family, Episode 1. That was the first family. It was a murder. It was the first murder. You know why he killed him? Because he resented him. He resented the fact that God accepted his offerings and not his. It was therefore a religious thing. And God replaced Abel. They had another son. So they had tragedy in their family. Adam and Eve had tragedy in their family. I mean, imagine one brother killing the other brother in cold blood. It wasn't a fight. He just went up to him and slit his throat. Totally unexpected, unannounced, nothing. Because God rejected Cain's form of worship and accepted Abel's. And it was manifest in the garden without going into the details. He accepted his offering by fire, but he wouldn't accept Abel's fruit and vegetables. God said, I want a blood offering. This is my way. Cain says, no, I'm going to do it my way and everyone will like it. Well, everyone didn't like it. Cain's in hell now. Abel's in heaven. He's the first person mentioned in the book of Hebrews by name as a part of those that found approval. The long list of the heroes of the faith. You want to be one of the heroes of the faith or just a hero in the cosmos? Or a wannabe hero in the cosmos? Or a wannabe somebody? Well, if you accomplish something, you'll soon be forgotten. We don't sit around and remember people from yesterday too much. Old Testament saints are rewarded at the second advent. Daniel was told he had his place and he had his reward coming. Daniel 12:13, the dead end of that book. The 12 apostles will rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. This is the kingdom of Christ when Christ rules over all the nations. After the great tribulation, after the 7-year tribulation. Oh, by the way, and after those of us who are alive at the rapture, we're only going to spend 7 years in heaven. Seven. Then we're going to come back with Christ to this planet. There's two different locations, right? Boom, boom. And we're going to watch him defeat all the armies of the world at Armageddon. Okay? We're going to be in our resurrection body and we're going to be riding our white horses. Whether they're actual horses. You mean there's horses in heaven? Well, they'd have to be supernatural horses. I thought it was funny. I was looking at my little bottle of cream that I have, heavy cream. I use it in a lot of stuff. It's good for you. I look at it and it says, supernatural. Supernatural. Oh, that's cool. That's clever. Okay. Anyway, the 12 apostles will rule over the 12 tribes of restored Israel. Matthew 19:28, Jesus promised him that. There's 12 of them, right? Judas was an unbeliever, like Cain. He's out of the picture. God plugs Paul in. These men will rule over the 12 tribes of Israel when Israel will have its greatest glory and be the greatest nation on the planet. Not the United States. This is why people don't want to hear doctrine. United States is soon going to become a nuclear wasteland without inhabitant. Is that sobering? God doesn't like us and what we're doing. And we won't repent. And we won't get our act together. And we keep pushing all these agendas, right? You've lived through a few of them. We're making abnormal normal. We're declaring abnormal as normal. And God hates that. And that's just one little thing. I never thought it would come this far, but it has. I should have known it would. Faithful members of the royal family will rule over the nations. You want to be a ruler? You want to rule over the nations? Just like there are nations today, France, Germany, whatnot, minus the U.S. God will not let it be reestablished. This whole continent will be a nature park that no one can visit. Overgrown, but animals and overgrown. And a testimony. You continue to push this. These are the kind of things God did. He wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah and it was a prosperous, lush place. And he did it in 1 hour of one day. One day everybody woke up and one day they were in the afterlife. They didn't expect that. But the negative volition never expects what's coming. They're not on top of things. They're playing with their God phone. They got all this important crap they got to absorb. Doesn't mean anything. See? The devil's world distracts people. We all have to fight distraction. It's all out there. And make coming to Bible class, learning, growing, applying doctrine our most pressing responsibility. Revelation 2:26. And the one overcoming. There's two things here. The one overcoming, that's the salvation adjustment. And guarding my works to the end. Whenever you start up. Guarding my works. Words, works to the end. That means you're applying doctrine. And you're positive. And you're in a healthy spiritual environment where the person in the pulpit is telling you the truth. He isn't there to make you feel good. I'm here to tell you the truth. It makes enemies for me. I don't care. I have no control over that. I will give him authority over the nations, and he will shepherd them with a rod of iron as vessels of clay are smashed. Oh my gosh. If you're one of the top posts, you'll be responsible for checking people out who did criminal stuff. That's exactly, you say, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to kill anybody. But you will. You will be Jesus Christ's executioner for people who commit high crimes worthy of death. Not just any crime, but only crimes worthy of death. Worthy of execution. Capital offenses. You'll do that. And then all the rest of us will all have different positions within the kingdom. How about those apples? A cheery thought, isn't it? You'll take out a fellow human being. One who made it through the millennium but acted up in through the trib and acted up in the millennium, or one of their descendants. Each will have varying authority, positions within this pecking order based on what you were as a believer in time. Yeah, a bunch of us Christians, we're just going to be peons. We're going to be happy peons. We're not going to have any pain. We're going to have a resurrection body like the next person. We're going to be peons. We're not going to have much reward to show for it. Imagine going to a big event and there's gifts given and everything. You get one little thing, rinky-dink thing. Or you get one little thing. Maybe it's not rinky-dink. Maybe it's okay in its way. See, this is the judgment seat of Christ. This is the wealth that never goes by the wayside. You never lose an interest in it. Things we get today, we lose interest in. The styles change, this happens, blah, blah, blah. You see something in the same category that you like so much better, and that loses all of its luster, and on we go. We will not have any of those problems. No one will be able to take it with you. No one will tax it away from you. No one will steal it. And yes, I'm hard-pressed to explain to you exactly the nature of the things God has. But I can say one thing. Eye is not seen. Ear is not heard. It has not entered into the imagination of man the things that God has prepared for those, now let's pause, who love Him. You do not love God because you said you did. You do not love anybody because you say, I love you. Words are fine, but if they're not backed up by concrete action, it's meaningless. The guy who's chasing all these girls tells all of them he loves them. Tells all half dozen of them that he loves them. But then he goes to the next one, tells that girl he loves that one too. Does he love any of them? No, he's just after you know what. So, love must be based on actions. Actions. And Jesus said, those who love me are those who hear my words and do them. How much in this Bible have you been exposed to as a believer? Well, I read all the way through it. Well, it didn't all stick, did it? It's not a substitute for being in a church where you've got a professor, the pastor teacher, who studies and teaches and communicates it to you under his spiritual gift. Doctrine coming up. So, Luke 19, of course, this is the teaching of Christ. And it is the verse we'll look at here. I think this is right. While they were listening to these things, Jesus went on to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem and they supposed that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. Oh my gosh. For those of you who have paid your dues and been through Mark, this is the mindset of the Jews at Jesus' time. And including the disciples. So he said, a nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. And he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas. That doesn't mean anything to you, but it is a unit, a monetary unit. You might have a footnote that explains what a M-I-N-A-S is. And said to them, these are his servants. He's over them. He says, do business with this until I come back. Of course, this is a picture of Christ going to the Father to come back and receive this kingdom. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, and he called 10 of his slaves, do business. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. Well, this parable, this storyline, is they didn't want Christ to rule over. When he returned after receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these slaves to whom he had given money be called to him so that he might know what business they had done. The first appeared saying, Master, your minus has made 10 more. In other words, I upped this from 1 to 10. I did the investment, I did the working, and the 1 is now 10. Okay? And this nobleman's a very powerful man now. He's got this kingdom, he's got all this going for him. And he said to him, well done, good slave, because you've been faithful in a very little thing. A minus isn't much. A minus is, M-I-N-A-S, is not very much. If you have a nickel in your pocket, it isn't very much, is it? Even a quarter isn't very much anymore. It's not very much. It doesn't matter. You took what God gave you and put it in front of you and you applied, and your little is translated into more. See, that's the point. And you are to be an authority over 10 cities. I got this big kingdom I went out and conquered, and there's 10 cities that I want to put you over. You're going to be the administrator of 10 cities. Not a little thing. The second came and said, your minus master has made 5 minus. And he said to him, and you are to be over 5 cities. Another came saying, Master, here is your minus, which I kept and put away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you, because you're an exacting man. You take up what you did not lay down and reap what you did not sow. He's maligning his owner. And he said to him, by your own words I will judge you. You worthless slave. Did you know that I am an exacting man? Taking up where I did not lay down and reaping what I did not sow. Then why did you not put my money in the bank? And having come, I would have collected it with interest. You could have still put it in the bank and got a little interest, you know, a penny or two. you didn't do that, did you? This slave here represents the unbeliever. That's the one that's, the believer is the one that's put his money, his minus in the bank, and all he's drawing is interest. I think it's pretty cool, actually. It's all he's doing is drawing interest. You know, people say, oh, don't put your money in a saving account, it's a bank, it's worthless. The interest is a joke. And I guess it is. It's nothing. But it's some interest. I mean, we have, I don't know how many tens of thousands of the church, we get this piddly thing each month. Because we have it in a special account and they draw interest on it, but it's next to nothing. So there's a parallel for you. He said to the bystanders, take the minus away from him and give it to the one who has the 10. Oh, so he gets 11. Keeping track? And they said to him, Master, he has 10 minus already. This is the key. There's going to be a transfer of SG3. There could have been another person's going to be transferred to you and you didn't even do anything to accomplish it. How about those apples? You didn't even do anything. Otherwise, it makes no sense. They said to him, Master, he has 10 already. I tell you that everyone who has, more shall be given to him. And the one who does not have, even what he does have, shall be taken away. But these enemies of mine, we've got to deal with them, who do not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slay them and wipe them out in my presence. That's Christ at the second advent, taking care of all these people. Unbelievers that make it through the trib. They're going to be wiped out in mass. The believers are going to go into the 1,000 years. And they're in their natural bodies. Well, this is a big deal. You're going to live on earth in your resurrection body, and you're going to interact with people like you and me who are in our natural bodies. But we're going to be perfect. You never heard anything like that before, did you? Those people teaching you are dummies. They don't know any of this stuff. Not in a million years. The truth is what matters. And those who don't like the truth hate those who love the truth. It's the way it goes. Jesus said, you're in the cosmos. The world's going to hate you. They hated me first. I wasn't popular in the good sense. So this is to illustrate that they'll have varying authority in the kingdom of God. Life lived according to the sin nature, point 7, forfeits SG3. Do not be deceived. Don't get faked out. God is not mocked. Oh yeah, people mock God. They mock Him all the time, but not successfully. It's not going to be successful. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. This is true in the agricultural world. You put a certain type of seed in the ground, that's what you're going to get. You're not going to get something different. Well, the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption, loss of rewards. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. Reap eternal life is a synonym for SG3, meaning that we're in a niche that's forever. Get this. We're going to be on a new earth after the 1,000 years. And there's going to be a city that's going to come down out of heaven that's 1,500 miles in all of its dimensions or so. It's going to sit on this earth. Okay? There's going to be no sun. There's going to be no moon. There's going to be no day-night cycle. God's glory is going to provide the ambient light for everybody. Okay? And there's going to be a river that comes out of this city, and it's going to be lined on either side with trees. And every month, these trees are going to produce a different fruit. 12 months, 12 different fruit. This is pear month, let's say. We'll name our months after fruit instead of after pagan deities. So, that's how we will mark time. 1 month's over. 1 year's over. 12 months, 30 days each. Boom. And 50 million years into eternity, we'll still be logging time. That's what it means to live forever in a resurrection body. And you won't have to say any of the things you say now. How you doing? How you doing? Of course, everybody says fine, even if they're not. Don't they? Did you ever hear everybody say, you shouldn't have asked? How you doing? You shouldn't have asked. My dog got ran over. My wife's dying. And I'm broke. So what do you want to know how I am? But you know what? I'm in fellowship. And God's with me. I'm doing fine. It all depends on your perspective, doesn't it? Of how you are. And you won't have to say, oh, I'm tired. I got to go sit down. I need to take a break. You won't get tired. You won't have a bed with a pillow on it. You'll be in a resurrection body like Christ. You want to go here? You want to go there? You can do it. I know to the person that's never heard this, it sounds crazy. But what can you do? What can you do but present it in people? Now, one of the things to get these big rewards is that you've got to be willing to do God's will. You've got to be His servant, not your servant. What are you going to do in life? Well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. That's the statement of men in the world. Statement of many Christians. This is what I'm doing. Hopefully, talking to a member of Maranatha Church, if this, I'm going to do what I've been doing. Or I'm praying about it. I'm going to go in a career, I want to be sure that God's in it. If I'm heading a direction I'm not supposed to go, I want God to shut it down. I want to do His will. I want to be where He wants me to be. I want to live out my short life on this earth doing what God wants me to do. Okay? So, when people decide to hook up with the plan of God and get with the real action, they've got to make some big decisions often. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes it's just, I found Maranatha Church and I live a few miles off and I just get my little car and I drive over here. Well, some people have to move halfway across the country. You say, why can't they get a church out there? Because they're not teaching the truth out there. It's a complete desert without an oasis being the local church. So they decide where, you know, I'm going to make this decision. I'm going to put my spiritual life ahead of my material life, my love life, and all the rest of it. But people don't do that today. I mean, you're taught to do it, and some of you do it. You do it like you're supposed to do it. Yeah, you may have your trials and errors, and, you know, things going on, but you figured out, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm willing to sacrifice anything to stay on track with the truth, and you can't buy me. You can distract me for a minute, but you can't distract me permanently. I keep coming right back to what I'm supposed to be doing. People say to me, and I'll let you take your break here, and well, we got a little time left. Yeah. I have people say, when are you going to retire? When I fall over dead. When they kick me out, or when the rapture occurs. I got three options. Okay? Well, I can't do it anymore. I mean, physically, something would happen. Yeah. But this is not a position. There's no place. I have not found a verse you can retire from your spiritual gift and be put out to pasture. You know, pastors do it all the time in the world, don't they? I'm retired clergy. Blah blah blah. I taught the Word of God when I was young, and I'm going to teach it when I'm old, because I'm going to be young forever. Full head of hair, too. My hair used to be so thick they'd have to thin it every time I went to the barber. That passed by in the 40s. I had a full head of hair to the mid-40s. Okay? That's my vanity aspect. There's nothing I can do, and I'm not wearing a damn wig. They look so bad, it isn't funny. Anyway, I'm just messing around here. Things to look forward to. The people you look at, they will look at that old guy. Well, he's going to be a believer and he's going to be a young guy like you. Okay? So, we'll all forget about how old we were or what problems we had. We got an eternal state and all that is so fades so far in the rearview mirror that it's just like, yeah. I don't think we're going to sit around talking. Hey, you remember down Maranatha Church when? We had that big event occur and all that drama. No. God, it's boring. I don't want to hear it. We're enjoying our SG3. So we won't be discussing this. We'll be enjoying an eternal vacation. And never, you know, vacations can get real, you know, after a while, this. I don't care if it is in paradise. Now, I want to talk about Moses in the second session, and I want you to remember that he was a great man humanly, but he made a decision to turn down the throne of Egypt because it wasn't compatible with NPR. Let's take our break.